Good evening, everyone, and welcome to another fantastic night of Fandom Access. I am your ever-faithful host, AJ. Greetings and salutations. So, it's a bit of a short show tonight. We have Rabbit Hole. We're going to discuss the first two episodes of Citadel. Miss Davis, whatever crazy episode we're up to. And Karen and I will probably talk a little bit about The Diplomat as a whole at the end of the show. So as soon as my lovely co-hosts get here, we will get crack-a-lackin' and be on our way to talking. What else have I been watching? Watching Miami Man. On Netflix, whatever the name of it is. It's all right. Nothing special. Karen says she'll be here in 90 seconds. I watched the first episode of Love and Death with Elizabeth Olsen. Darn, couldn't think of her name for a second there. That was interesting. Not exactly what I thought it was going to be. Definitely interesting. What else have I watched? I feel like that's it. So Karen should be here in 30. Oh, there she is. Look at that. Quicker than 90 seconds. Oh, Jamie too. Holy crap.
Hello.
Hello.
Yep. Me too.
Hello, ladies.
How are you guys?
Karen,
I'm good.
That was quicker than 90 seconds.
Good.
You caught me off guard.
Oh, yeah? Well, I'm at home in New Jersey, and I got to tell you, you know, my dad is 91, and he falls asleep at like 8:30 almost every night. But it seems like on podcast night, he always stays awake, and then at 9:59, he decides to walk up the flight of stairs.
That's
so
how
that
always
was my whole.
Don't you know this yet?
Yep. Yeah.
Okay. Usually I'm dealing with someone snoring next to me on the couch, but I'm not for once. Yeah. She just told me to shut up. She heard me. She's not out here
okay.
Right now. We're okay.
All
right.
Well, nice to be here with you guys.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right, we have
all
a
right.
Short
so,
show, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Before we start, I just want to say before, because I'm afraid I'll forget if I don't say now.
Go for it.
Tomorrow, I have some interviews with some of the rest of the Fear the Walking Dead cast as well, but I have a one-on-one with Kim Dignan. So if anybody
that's so exciting.
Yep. So if anybody wants to send me their questions, you can do so through Twitter, and I will try to ask them. I don't got a lot of time, but I'm going to try to do
everyone's,
it, and then I have a roundtable after that. So
everyone's going to ask, how did Madison survive? But, of course, they say that's going to be explained this season, right?
Yeah, I think I believe
so.
I mean, I don't know the answer to that yet, but I'm hoping, that's for sure. But yeah.
Well,
but hey,
here's
that's great.
Here's me wishing for your sakes that the return of Madison actually helps the show.
Can't yeah. hurt the show, right?
Yeah,
that's fair enough.
Can't do too bad. Now,
you know, I can only imagine. I can only. You know, it's funny because, like, you know, back in the day before the internet and everything, people, you know, actors and actresses, you'd see them in interviews and they'd ask, you know, what do you think about what the critics said about this, that, and the other? And they're like, oh, I don't read any of the reviews or anything. In today's world, you can't avoid it. You know,
yeah.
you Google you Google something and you get a pop up of something you didn't ask about, or you know, so like you could and you're just gonna see it, you're gonna hear it, whatever. So I wonder what it's like for the cast of Fear with all this, like everybody is trashing them every time I turn around, and I'm not even looking for anything about Fear of the Walking Dead, yet I keep seeing all these comments and, you know, headlines for articles about how bad Fear is. So I wonder what how the actors feel that all these people are trashing them. That's got
to
suck.
You know, because
I'm sure they're doing their best.
For the regular show, too. So it's not like it's, you know,
amazing,
but.
Two things, I think. Either they know something we don't know about how fantastic the ending is going to be, and they have confidence in that. Or, alternatively, they are just laughing all the way to the bank about their amazing contract and salary, getting paid for this dreck, maybe?
There you go.
I don't know. I mean, I hate to think that about somebody like Lenny James and you know, Kim Dickens, who are good actors who I don't think make shit just for money, but there's got to be something going on here that, right? There's got to be something.
Yeah, I also sometimes think that probably being on the inside of it feels different than us looking in, like, as a viewer. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Because when you make,
yeah.
I would assume, and I could be wrong, but I would assume that, like, when you're making a project, it may seem like it's going good or feel to you like it's good, and, you know, the critics don't necessarily agree. I doubt that while you're doing it, you're thinking, oh, this isn't. I mean, sometimes they do. I'm not saying they never do, but,
well,
you know. Aren't necessarily
no. My point just was how much that must suck for them. You know what I mean? Like
it's
their livelihood. They're putting their all into it. You know, and to, you know, to hear people. I mean, and critics are shitting on it without even having seen the final season yet. So
that's a good point. Yeah. Yeah.
Well,
just saying how shitty that must be.
The critics might not like it, but the fans seem to.
While
Jamie and I are over it, it still gets good numbers. It's still one of the highest rated shows on cable, right?
People are still watching
I mean,
it.
People complained about
Somebody
the
likes
original
it.
Show, and it still did super good, and it still has a big fan base, too. So it really just depends. Although, to be fair, the original series did have a really good ending. I mean, we liked the ending. So, I mean, that's not to say that the end of this won't be good either. We really don't know until we see it, but we'll have to wait and see. But, yes, I agree with you. It kind
of
probably does
no
suck.
Ending,
but to some extent, I think, you know, they have to deal with that. And it's not like it's something they can avoid. There's always going to be people who are going to be upset and people who are going to like it. I mean, it's, you know, there's not a lot you can do. And a lot of times it's the writers, too. That's the thing that I feel bad is a lot of times, like, you know, actors get, like, shot down and, like, oh, this is horrible or whatever, and it has nothing to do with the actor. They don't make the choices half the time. I mean, sometimes they do. But a lot of times they don't have a choice, and they're, you know, forced to do things a certain way, and you don't hear till, like, you know, years later that, you know, they didn't like it or whatever.
Yeah.
So you never know. But at any rate.
Well, and, you know, and, for example, we're going to have the opposite situation tonight where we're going to talk about a lot of TV that is highly – rated that we hate.
it can go both ways. That's what I said. That's why, to be honest, even before I started reviewing things, I try not to read what people say because half the time I disagree with them, and I feel like it colors your view when you go in. So it's usually good to form your own opinion. But but at any rate, I think it's a good idea that they brought her back. And
again,
I think it'll be a good conversation,
the show.
So we'll see. Yeah, right.
Yep.
All right.
All righty.
All right.
Okay, well.
So on to
Rabbit Hole.
Rabbit Hole,
yes. And I was good. I waited to watch the next one. I'm going to watch it.
Good girl.
You're so good,
Jamie. Good girl.
Well, that's what I did last week, too. I waited till we hung up, and then I went and watched it. Because I really like the show. It's hard not to, but they send it on Tuesday, so I have that much restraint. If they send it, like, Friday or something, I probably would watch it.
Glad, Jamie, that you can control yourself. This was episode 7.
And actually, Karen, let me go first because I'm going to say something.
Yeah,
I'm going to start the show off in a way I don't normally. I think Karen's right. Haley is too perfect to not be up to something. Like this week, she sees the laptop and she sees that John has been talking to somebody claiming to be balance, and she doesn't say anything to Ben. Mm-hmm. She just closes the laptop down, you know? And then I'm not even sure exactly what she took to Maddie, but she takes that flash drive to Maddie, which I'm guessing it has some kind of incriminating evidence on it about somebody on the take that Crowley's blackmailing.
Yeah, but she's
she also used it at the same time to prove that what's his face, Edward is alive,
mm-hmm.
to get her off Weir's back, and you know, so Haley is definitely, it's not that I disagreed with Karen before, I just didn't feel it. She definitely was. I felt maybe it was the writing, but now this episode, and if she's not up to something, I'm going to be very disappointed because...
I don't know that she's bad, but I think there's definitely something...
I'm not saying bad. I'm saying up to something. She's definitely not what she seems because she's just too... Like Karen has been saying, you know, she went from staying with John because he can protect her to... jumping in head first into this, it's definitely leading somewhere.
Well, my thing is, her thing with Maddie, like, seemed too, like, oh, I'm so worried about Weird. Like, if she, I don't know, like, I kind of feel like if she was that worried about him, why would she, I don't know that she would go to her. Like, something just seems off about that to me.
Exactly.
That's what to me seems wrong. But I wanted to ask you guys, whenever Maddie tells her boss, and then she's like, well, I want higher up, and then I'll leave it alone. Do you believe she's really going to leave it alone, or do you think she's saying that?
Oh, absolutely not.
She's
She's playing it.
I think so, too.
Yeah,
I don't think she's going to.
Yeah, no, I don't think she's dirty at all. I think, you know, she's totally playing it.
And she's
I may not agree with the way.
Or they'll kill her.
I may not agree with the way Maddie goes about stuff and everything, and she's kind of dumb sometimes, but... She definitely has the best interest of other people in heart, so.
Maddie? Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think that when Maddie brings that evidence and uses it to get herself, like, promoted to head of the task force, I mean, do they want you to think that Maddie's using it for her own benefit? You know, as Jamie said, no, it's not played out in any kind of way that makes it obvious. I mean, it seems like she definitely is not, that's not what she's about, right? I think Maddie really wants the answer.
Her becoming the head of the task force could also help her screw them over in the end because she has more power.
Yes.
So she could be thinking, you know,
yes.
10 steps ahead. But I think she's smart and she knows that she'll disappear too if she, you know, especially she. I get the feeling that there's a chance, and I don't know because we don't know. But it seems like she knew Weir fairly well, maybe. So she probably knows a lot of kind of his paranoid stuff, and I would think that she may be thinking, okay, maybe he's right, and I need to be careful the way I, you know, what I do now. You don't want to just be like, no, I refuse
to
go along with you because you'll end up dead.
It could also be because of whatever she saw on that flash drive.
Yeah. I mean, I think that she doesn't really know John. She knows him the way a cop knows a suspect. I mean, they know each other personally,
right,
but they're not like friends, right? Like, she knows him because she's been circling around him for years. And when she's like, oh, I don't think he did it, I mean, of course we're on board with that because
we know he did.
I mean, this is where the story is a little, like, it's a very typical story, which we've seen in so many cop shows, the X-Files, the kinds of shows, where the person who knows the situation the best, but because they're a little bit of a non-traditional agent or whatever, they're like, whatever, you're a loser, you can't be involved, we hate you, right? Like, we've seen this kind of story many times, where the most knowledgeable officer is sort of, like, cast aside.
Yeah.
But I agree with you guys that she catapulted herself to the top of the investigation, not because of personal ambition, but because of personal interest in getting to the bottom of the story, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think.
And that's because she's not stupid, too. Because that's what I think. I think she would be smart enough to know if I go against him, I'm going to end up like, you know, like the other one.
Well,
she don't want that to happen.
It could have. The other thing is she could be playing it by ear, because it also could have been where she hands it in to him, and he could have reacted two ways. He could have been like, "Holy shit, where did you get this? Who else knows? We got to be careful." Or
and then she would have went
how it played out.
Yeah,
that's fair. That's fair. So let me ask you guys. The thing I was waiting to ask you is, did you like how they? I like how they kind of tried to make us think that Stace was alive in the way that they did it and how it ends up that it was all flashback, but also how he was communicating with them, like, but, you know, past. Obviously, it wasn't, like, happening now, but that he was really was sending him messages, but he is really gone. Like, I like the way
that we knew that, though. Okay. We knew that how they were communicating before.
And
I was,
angry. Last week we talked about whether or not we thought he was really dead or not, and we all kind of agreed, yeah, he jumped off the building, he's dead, right?
Right. But, I mean, I guess I like how, like, he's sending a message. Like, we didn't know for sure that part of it wasn't coming from, you know, the guy.
We knew somebody was using it or faking
it. I like that it really did come from Valance just, you know, after the fact, but that it really was sort of him.
Well, the package did. Whoever's texting him is texting him.
Yes, Crowley texted him. I'm talking about how he sent him the stone and everything with, like, the video.
Well, yeah, that was.
Like, that was what I was saying.
Oh, yeah, that
like
was.
How they did that. Yeah, sure, right.
That was premeditated. That was.
But that he did technically contact him because he had sent him these things ahead of time and just kind of had it all in place and ready, like, this is what's going to happen and I'm doing this to help you, but they're going to kill me type of thing. Like, I just like the way they did it.
Mm-hmm.
I was getting a little annoyed for a minute. I was like, these better be flashbacks. I swear to God, if they try and say he's actually alive somehow, it better be one hell of an explanation. Like, he had a bungee strap around his waist and you couldn't see it. So when he jumped, he like sprung back up and there was some guy on the balcony below him and grabbed him and pulled him. Like, I was like, there better be some fucking, you know, James Bond shit here. That we didn't, you know, but I did not want him to be alive. Not, you know, just because what we've been given already, you can't explain that away. So I was like, these better be flashbacks.
Yeah. Oh yeah, they have to be. I'm glad they kind of settled that while we all were like, no, he's dead again. I think there probably was an audience segment out there who were waiting to see. So I'm glad that was really firmly settled.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, they opened up and yet solved some other stuff in this episode. Like we had previously seen John talking to the priest in the confessional, and we saw
that's
him again this week. But, yeah, that's how it started, right? You're right, AJ. That's the very first scene we saw. And he's back in there with the priest and he's explaining. And we got John to explain a little bit about how his mind works. I'm not sure that everybody needed that. Like, I don't know about the three of us who talk about the show every week, maybe understood that, but maybe it was important for other viewers to see John explain how he's like, when I can't explain something, my mind goes to all the possibilities. And we saw John's mind, like, we saw two or three versions of the same scene, not the same scene, but he almost think John's hallucinating for a moment. But then you see that it's his mind working out various possibilities, right? And he explains very clearly to us, the viewer, how his brain works, which, I mean, I liked and I didn't like. Like, I liked it, but I also felt like we're not stupid. Like, we don't need you to totally, like, we get that his, whatever. But, you know, it was kind of cool to see John kind of come to that himself and be like, look, I'm not, like, he has to admit that he doesn't always like get every single thing at face value. I guess I kind of liked it. I don't know. How'd you guys like the whole thing with the whole Crowley? Like, we talked last week about how the old man, you know, we're like, that's not Crowley. And it turns out this week, in fact, he is not Crowley. Crowley still has yet to be revealed to us, right? We saw that scene. And there were so many big twists this week. Like, with the briefcase, I love that twist with the briefcase where John finally realizes that, like, the senator She didn't want the briefcase because there was incriminating evidence. She wanted the briefcase because she wants the power of having all that dirt on people.
Yeah, okay. that was kind of like, a nice twist.
That, like, she was using, last week, she was using John, but John used her, and this week we find out she was using John on a whole different level. And John, like, you know, like there, I love that there was, like, another whole level that we didn't even know about last week. And ultimately, it was all the Ben stuff. How do you guys feel about the Ben stuff that happened? Like, it seems to have maybe resolved itself a little bit in this episode, right? I mean, how do you maybe, okay, don't talk at the same time. Jamie first, the whole Ben and John thing. How did you like, or okay, AJ first, the whole Ben and John thing.
Yeah,
I liked it because I
felt like there was a moment there, like, I knew that the whole Crowley thing was bullshit. You know, Crowley's like, no, this is really Ben, and I'm trying to stop him, and John, you know, trying to make John think the other way around. I liked it simply because some of it makes sense. You know, like how John keeps seeing his father killing his friends. Now, we know that Kyle killed them. It's kind of funny when you think about it, because, you know, if Ben hadn't gone after Kyle, Kyle doesn't get the gun and go back to the office, and they're not dead now. You know what I mean? So it's kind of, I like the way we watch and see his mind work. And even though the way he plays things out aren't necessarily true, it makes you wonder what Ben's true motives are, because I feel like nothing is what it seems with anybody. And there's still things that Ben is not telling John. So I think John has every right to be suspicious of Ben, because Ben is not telling the whole story here. I'm waiting, you know, there's going to be a shoe that drops with Ben and John. So I like the way it played out.
Yeah, I was going to say, a lot of what you said, I was just thinking the same thing. Like, I like that they kind of resolved it, but at the same time, I feel like it's not 100% resolved, because it still feels like there's stuff he's holding back. I mean, you're right. It was 100% his fault that he set it in motion that it happened. I do like that John kind of finally realizes that, you know, they're trying to pit him and his father against each other, but I still don't think he's being 100% honest. I don't trust him 100%.
You mean Ben? You mean Ben's not
right.
being honest?
I don't totally trust. I don't know that I think Ben is, like, quote unquote bad, but I don't think he's being 100% honest. Although, I don't know. I trust him less than I trust Haley, so I don't know what that says.
So, you know what? I agree with you on that. I don't trust Haley, and I'm not convinced that Haley took that information to Agent – what's her name? Agent Mira? Agent whatever. I'm not convinced that Haley did that purely for, like, John's benefit or whatever. Like, I still don't trust Haley. I agree with both of you. And I agree with Jamie, I trust Ben less, because we keep finding shit out about Ben, and he's always got an excuse. Like, this week we found out that he lived 3 blocks away from John for the last 30 years and, you know, allowed John, or last 10 years, I guess, and allowed John to think he was dead. Like, every time John says he's got, every time Ben has a reason, I'm like, wait a minute, you made a 10-year-old think that you killed yourself, and you let your son see a dead body that he thought, like, what? Like, I'm sorry, but there's like, nothing ever that justifies that, right? Like, I keep going back to that thing where we saw the flashback where the kid sees his father who shot in the head.
Yeah, I mean, that's where why he has a lot of his problems. I mean, that's where
pretty much
came from in the first place, is, you know, because he couldn't accept what happened, and then it wasn't.
And now we find out.
And now
we find out he lived like 2 blocks away under a fake name for 10 years. Which, first of all, like, I mean, that it's creepy on so many levels, and it's so risky that John could, like, I know it's New York City, but come on, you're 3 blocks away on the Upper East Side. Of course, you can bump into each other, right? I mean, it's so terrible. Like, the more we find out, everything we find out about Ben is more and more, he's more and more of a horrible person. Like, you think a guy who tricks his kid into thinking that you killed yourself and lets him see that can't be worse, and yet you see that for the next 40 years, he continues to fuck with John. It's just, like,
and it's not,
there's no way we can trust him.
Yeah, and I was going to say, it's not so much him letting him think he's dead. It's the fact that he let him see that, because that would mess any kid up. I mean, if he just, like, I can understand him hiding him being alive in order to protect the family, but you don't let a kid go through that. Like, after it happened, there could have been some way to try to fix it or have him at some point over the next however many years find out, not take so long to tell.
Well, you had just to let a kid go. He didn't just let a kid go through it. It was, like, part of his ultimate plan for his kid to go through that, right?
Well, I think,
like,
at the very beginning,
so
he didn't want him to, because he tried to go back in when he walked in.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
That.
You're right, yeah.
But he didn't work very hard to stop it from happening. Like, if
yeah,
he, I feel
you're
like
right.
if he really loved him the way he should have, he would have somehow done something differently. What it could have not necessarily even been that he was alive, but they could have, I don't know, he could have done something.
Yeah.
Like, obviously his kid was messed up
well,
after
and
that.
And you don't move up, you don't move two blocks up the street and like, spy on him and don't, right? Like, come on, it's all messed up. It's totally messed up. So, and those kind of things make me not, I don't believe anything Ben ever says. And I think this episode, we were supposed to maybe think that, okay, Ben is actually against Crowley, like, that Ben is, like, I don't know. Ben is, like, everything that Ben says is, like, I did it for your benefit, John. And you're like, really? Like, what? Like, again, I hate to say this, but it happened today on General Hospital where the villain was like, I did it for your, I'm trying to destroy the planet for your benefit. And everybody's like, what are you talking about? Right? Like, it's very soap opera. It's very, like, B-movie. It's very, like this idea that, like, I did all this for your benefit, John. And the kid has been, like, emotionally and psychologically screwed up since he was 8 because of this, right? But I think that this week we were supposed to maybe see John and Ben come to this point where John was going to be like, okay, my father's a total jerk, but he's not Crowley. He's not on Crowley's side, right? I mean, this episode kind of, I thought was supposed to, I don't know if I believe it, but I think this episode,
I think
this
you're
point,
supposed to.
We're supposed to believe that, okay, it's revealed that Ben is not on Crowley's side. He's not actually Crowley, which has been a question, I think, for some number of episodes, maybe not recently, but there was a point where we're all were like, is he Crowley, right?
Right. Yeah, like, is it
he's
a double
not.
Blind? And,
right.
So next week's the season finale. Go ahead, AJ.
You know what's actually kind of interesting?
I didn't realize that. Something I kind of felt was that
Ben almost acts like a scorned lover when it comes to Crowley. Like, I never thought that Ben was Crowley, but I've always in the back of my mind kind of wondered if him and Crowley were actually partners and had a falling out.
And that, yeah, I thought that too.
Yep. Yeah.
And then he blamed him for everything, and it was like, because, you know, I got to be honest, I think that's still a possibility, because I wonder that guy, do you remember whenever there was, like, a dead guy on the ground that they were saying that they let him, I forget what it was, that they were supposed to stop him from doing something, and he went off and did whatever it was, and they didn't stop him in time. Do you know what scene I'm talking about? And him and this other guy were cleaning up the scene.
Yeah,
like,
I
wondered
the
if that was supposed to be Crowley. The guy
I have wondered that also,
possible.
Jamie. I thought the same thing. What was his partner in Latin America at that time, Crowley?
Right, and that became... Because that guy seemed like he had some kind of radical views, if I remember rightly. And that's what made me think
radical
that I wondered
like,
what became what it is now.
Yeah.
You know?
That guy's radical views, as you call them, were like, yeah, let's just kill the witness. Right?
Yeah.
Like there was they were disposing of a body, and he was like, let's kill this other person. And Ben's like, what? And he's like, no, we got to kill this person, kind of, right, is how that was going.
Yeah, and yeah. I just wonder that was, and that's like AJ said, like he was his partner. I kind of wonder that might turn out that was Crowley, and that's why he knew him. Because he seems to know him pretty well, in my opinion, the way they're going about it. Like, it seems like it was somebody that he knew, at any rate.
Yep. I think so, yeah. Yeah, yeah, possible.
Well, we will find out.
Yeah. I mean, so next week is the season finale, and I don't really know what's going to happen. This show is renewed, right? So we're going to have a whole, right? It's renewed, I think.
I don't know. That's what I was just looking to see.
Yeah, I don't know.
Renewed. I don't really know.
It says it isn't been renewed yet.
It's not renewed. Oh, well, I'm sorry, but the show will definitely get renewed.
It'll get renewed.
I think.
It'll definitely get renewed.
Likely it will, but I mean, that's a guess. We don't really know. It would be nice.
I'd be really surprised if a show headlined by Kiefer Sutherland and Charles Dance doesn't get the second season.
Yeah, which is getting and it's getting rave reviews from all critics and everyone.
Yeah.
We got to remember, I was just going to say, we don't know, though. A lot of things are going to be potentially affected by the writer's strike. We don't know.
Well, I mean, I don't know if renewal would be
renewed or not, but I mean, affect
timeline.
If it's renewed, when it comes back, that type of thing.
I mean, I think in terms of the season finale, which is next week, which was shot long in advance of any controversy, I have been waiting for Hom to be, like, a more decisive character. So every week, Hom's a little bit of, like, an exposition fairy, right? Because he's like, oh, wait a minute. I just Googled and I found the answer to all these, like, secret bank accounts or whatever, blah, blah, blah. So he's the exposition fairy, but he's also this guy who's, like, he's always like, oh, I figured it out because of Twitter. Are you kidding me, John? You're a master, genius of whatever, and you don't ever look at Twitter. What's wrong with you? Which I love all those scenes also, right? And I feel like I've been waiting for this guy to be the guy who, like, puts it all together. Like, I feel like John having kidnapped him to save his life, right? But he's instrumental at every step of the way, but so in the background. And I'm just kind of waiting for Hom to be the guy that does it.
Yeah, and I've said this before. He's the one person that I don't per se suspect of being on the other side, but that's what makes me wonder with the show if I should be suspecting him. I wonder if we're going to watch it and it's going to turn out he's Crowley or something just as crazy, like this whole time he's been, the mastermind, just because you don't expect it. But, I do like him. He does seem like he needs to... So, like, he's doing a lot and not getting the credit for it. I get what you're saying.
Yeah.
Like, he needs to...
Yeah. I mean,
either. I just wonder if I should start questioning it, because I'm questioning everybody but him.
Yeah.
I like the scene when Haley comes in, he goes, Hong the daddy, Hong the daddy. And she's like, what?
Hong the daddy. Hong the daddy. Yep.
She's like, that's not the thing.
Yeah, I'm kind of waiting for him to have some sort of big bombshell moment because he's sort of he's along for the ride, and he's a little comic, and then he dumps these great reveals and pieces of information all the time, right? Because he's a genius,
I hope so too. I mean, I think that would add to his character, but I think he's kind of the comic relief for the most part, and like you said, he has those moments of exposition. But mostly he's just kind of goofy.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
all right, 1 week left. We have no idea, right? This show week to week goes in every direction. Who knows what to expect?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Could be anything.
That goes with
it. But it's going to be great. Yep. It's going to be great.
Yeah, there hasn't, it's like the first couple episodes I watched, I was like, I don't know what the hell's going on. It was, it's kind of like that feeling I had when watching the first season of Orphan Black. I was like, I have no idea what I'm watching. I just know I like it.
Yep.
You don't always have to know what's going on to like it, right?
That's right, yeah. Yep. All right, so one more week of this. I can't wait to talk about it. In the meantime, we've only got one more show tonight to really talk about. Well, no, we've got a couple. You guys want to let's talk about Mrs. Davis next,
Citadel.
Huh?
Oh, no, she doesn't watch Miss Davis.
No,
she hasn't watched Miss Davis.
All right, Jamie, are you waiting for? Are you waiting to watch it so you can talk about it with us, or are you just not going to watch it?
Well, I was going to maybe watch it, and but you guys seem to not like it. So I'm like, I don't know, maybe it's not worth me starting it.
All right, let's talk about Citadel. You've watched Citadel, right?
Yeah.
Let's talk about Citadel.
Now, how many Citadel?
Two episodes aired, and we watched the two episodes.
Okay, well, you might have to remind
me. And then talked about it online in text messages for 2 hours.
Jamie, you have seen the entire 6 episodes?
No. I have seen 3, I believe. They didn't send
them
all when I first got them, so I didn't watch them all. But yeah, so I might end up ahead. I'm afraid I don't remember. I told you, when you see all the things together in one long thing, it's like it's hard to separate in your head. I can overall talk about
We saw the flashback. We saw the guy gets his memory back. He goes to meet Priyanka Chopra in her restaurant. They get in a big fight. She gets her memory back. And that's pretty much what we saw, right, AJ?
Okay, I've definitely seen further than that, though.
Yeah.
Pretty much what we saw.
Well, we talked about how, and this is sort of what we were alluding to earlier, is that this show is not getting the best of reviews, It wasn't getting the best of reviews. I guess I don't know what people are saying now. I know we were talking about how they redid the pilot or whatever. I'm losing my brain. But
it's not getting well reviewed. I think that AJ and I, the way we each experience it, like AJ, you watched it without reading reviews, right? I watched it after reading reviews, and I think we had different experiences based on that.
Yeah, I think me and AJ, I think we're more aligned than me and you, because I feel like I liked it for what it was. Like, I enjoyed it, but it's like an action show. I mean, it's made by the Russo brothers. I didn't expect it to be this sort of deep and involved thing. I expected it to be a fun action blow up, shoot people type thing. And that's kind of what it is. So,
yeah,
I liked it. Is it super deep?
Yeah.
Not necessarily, but I wasn't really looking for that. So
I think it's I mean, for me, it was exactly what I was expecting. Like you said, it's from the Russo brothers. So I was expecting a kooky plot with lots of action. That is exactly what I got in the first two episodes, you know. I mean, we talked about this in text, the three of us, you know. Sometimes we live in a world now where everybody overanalyzes everything, and I say this all the time about a lot of stuff. It's like, why can't anybody ever just enjoy something for what it is? If you don't like it, that's fine. Move on.
Enjoy it for what it is instead of what it's not.
Exactly, you know. I mean, that's like well, Karen and I will talk about this in a little bit, but I think I'm going to move on from Miss Davis.
Yeah.
You know, but I enjoyed Citadel. I can't wait to see the next episode. I don't know. It's one of those shows where, I mean, what's his name? Jesus. Stanley Tucci just eats up the scenery, you know.
Yeah.
Which is always great. I mean, our two leads are beautiful, you know. As far as the scenery behind them, I mean, I don't know what the hell they spent $300 million on. I don't know if it's because every shoot is on location in this show. So, like, when we see them in...
It doesn't look like it.
Looks like it's expensive, but that expensive, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know where the money went.
Concern is, I guess.
I was joking.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just gonna say I was joking with Artie because he wants to watch it, but he hasn't yet. And I said to him, I was like, you know, I was telling about the critics and everything, and I was like, it doesn't really matter what anybody says. I was like, this is Richard Madden's extended audition for James Bond.
I really was let down and thought it was kind of shitty, but I think that's partly because, as you know, I had read a whole bunch of reviews and stories about it, and I knew going in that this was a $300 million show. It's only 6 episodes. It's $50 million per episode is the average, and this does not, come on, this does not look a $50 million episode, right?
No,
like,
no.
I mean, and shooting on location, they're barely on location. Like, I think I texted you guys that I felt like that opening scene on the train is the same recycled CGI from the Ark. It looks exactly like the spaceship on the Ark when they're inside in the train. It's not exactly, but it's pretty white and gray and basic and nothing.
It's funny.
Right?
When you said that, I immediately knew what you meant.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And hadn't thought about it until you said that.
The question
right?
I have is, like I said, I liked it. I like it for what it is. I think it's, you know, a good action show. But I don't know. I question that, okay, if they put this in different countries, there can be different versions of them, and I feel like maybe each country will watch their version. But I feel like there's not enough stuff for me to want to go watch the
exactly.
other version. Like,
well,
I don't
hear
like,
the
I mean,
see, I was the
it's
opposite.
Not like a Marvel movie where I want to know what happened to all the other characters. Like, I don't care about the rest of the universe, at least not yet. Like, it's not that good. You know what I mean? Like, I like it for what it is, but I don't need to go beyond the show.
So, all right, AJ, go ahead before I rant. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, actually, okay. Actually, I'm kind of the opposite. I'm kind of curious to see the other, because the Citadel that's on Prime right now, this is like the global mothership, you know? They're going to be bouncing all over the country. All the spinoffs, India, Mexico, Spain, and Italy are all going to be localized. So the spinoff for Italy is just going to be in Italy. They will never leave Italy. So I think it's going to be – I'm kind of intrigued by the idea. I think it's kind of a cool idea. I think that's why the Russo brothers were brought in the first place, because they're – you know, they have history with doing franchises. I don't know if – you know, this is Prime's plan to make Citadel like their franchise show or something.
Maybe if we saw a local version first, maybe we would have been more –
right.
Like maybe if they made
but
it
– I like the concept.
I don't know.
I like the concept and idea. How it plays out is another story, but
I'm
kind of curious to see them.
I
don't really like
this part. I don't care enough to know. Like,
I don't like
the concept. I mean, I'm saying that. I might like it more as it goes, but.
So, you guys, I thought the show was not that good. I mean, again, I was a little, I was expecting it to be like a legit spy show with an interesting conspiracy storyline. I mean, I knew it was about, like, these people had lost their memories and were getting them back, and I knew there was some borderline fake science involved in getting your memories restored or whatever. But I found it to be, I don't know. I thought it was very thin. The plotting is very thin. The characters are very thin. The dialogue is kind of really bad. And my issue was that I thought I was watching, like, kind of a better show, and I realized, I texted you guys, oh, this is the Kingsman. Is this based on a comic book? Because this is a ripoff of Kingsman. You know, if you guys have seen the movie Kingsman, I haven't read the comics.
Yeah, I love
AJ
Kingsman.
Has. If you know Kingsman, Kingsman is about, like, this undercover spy agency that nobody knows about, and then in the movie they get destroyed, and in Kingsman 2 they come back or whatever, right? And I said, oh, this is like a comic book level spy show. If I'd known that, I would have had a different expectation going into it. I think I was expecting like a prestige television script and storyline. I definitely thought I was going to see prestige television. And what I was seeing was comic book level television when I saw it. So my expectations were, I was like, what is this crap I'm watching, right? And it took me into the second episode to be like, oh, this is borderline like Austin Goldman, whatever that guy's name is, Austin Powers, right? I'm like, oh, this is a borderline comedy kind of show that I'm watching. So I was really disappointed in the first episode. It took me a while. It was really when AJ texted and was like, just enjoy it for what it is. And I was like, oh, wait, it's not a serious show. Oh, I get it now. It's two really hot people getting in fights and being in different locations. Okay, I'm down with that, right? But it took me a while to get there.
You know what always speaking of hot people. You know what always amazes me?
Yeah.
How the heck did she do all those fight scenes and then land in the water and come out and her dress was still in one piece and on her?
I know, right?
Okay, continue.
Mm-hmm. That's funny. I have not mm-hmm. thought about that.
Right. I also, you know, we know that this was a very troubled show. that went through multiple showrunners, multiple writers, producers, reshoots, this and that. And it was originally 8 episodes of 1 hour. It got cut down to 6 episodes of 40 minutes. 6 times 40 is 240 minutes. It's barely longer than a movie. And, like, should this have been a movie, not a show? Or if it's going to be a show, give us an hour, 6 hours. Give us 8 hours, right? Like,
yeah.
Like maybe yeah. they're cutting out stuff that we should – might make it a little better if we can have a little bit more characterization, a little bit more, like – it's so – like the spy story – look, I love Stanley Tucci, and he's a great actor, and he's doing a lot with what he's given. But he's this borderline Alfred character who gives the exposition dump, and he's like, oh, we were a spy agency. And then there was this other spy agency, and there was Hydra, and there was this, and we got in a fight, and we were destroyed, and now we're going back against Hydra. You know, it's very one of
the It is. It's very
right?
S.H.I.E.L.D. versus Hydra.
It's very mm-hmm. S.H.I.E.L.D. versus Hydra. It's a very unoriginal kind of storytelling, which could be fine if it's really fun and sexy and action-y, right? I think maybe we need the hour, not the 40 minutes. I wonder if what I need is more, I don't know, Ben and the two leads are hot. There's some stuff going on. This is not a $300 million show so far. We've seen 2 episodes, and have we seen $120 million worth of programming right now? I don't know. Come on, Amazon. Is it on Amazon? Bring it around,
yeah.
right? Yeah. And so going back to the multiple countries, let me just complete this thought, AJ, real quick.
No, go ahead.
The idea that there's going to be 5 shows in 5 countries, it's a very interesting idea, but I think it's a mistake to build that universe before you've proven one show. Like mm-hmm. the Marvel
yeah, that's
universe.
What, maybe if we had an American version first and then they brought
a hit. If you have an American hit, if you have a hit show. Like, at least when Marvel builds out the universe, they've got multiple intellectual property over many comic books and shows and whatever they're building on, right? Like, I can't believe that Amazon sunk this much money and committed to 5. I mean, I think the Russo brothers sold them a story, but now you're going to do 5 shows in 5 countries in 5 languages based on pretty much no proven anything, right?
Mm-hmm.
And maybe they should have let this put the money into one show and make this show everything and be and make it a hit and then build out your universe. Not commit to a universe with nothing happening yet, right?
Well, I mean, on that thought, the perfect example is when Iron Man 1 was made back in 2008, you know, Marvel had an idea what they wanted to do, but nothing was committed. You know, you had the end credit with at the end of Iron Man. You know, it got you going, holy crap, what's their plan, you know? Like, they had an idea, but there was no commitment. Had it bombed, the Marvel Universe wouldn't be what it is today. It'd be done.
Yeah.
You know, so I agree with you that I think it's very risky. I mean they're basing this on the success of the Russo brothers. I mean, they've been riding high for a minute, and pretty much everything they've touched has turned to gold. So I think that's what Amazon was banking on.
You know, like, I understand them taking the risk, but at the same time, because of who they are, but at the same time, I totally agree with what Karen said. Like, you don't know how it's going.
Oh, I agree there,
like,
too.
Get something going first, then that's it.
I mean,
yeah,
I thought you guys
would
like this
that.
Kind of shit. You guys both like this a little better than I do, but, I mean,
yeah.
We agree that it's not, like, the greatest spy show we've ever seen, right? Like, I mean, you guys agree that there's weaknesses to this program.
Oh, yeah,
yeah,
that's why I said I enjoyed it for what it was, but, like, I don't – like, I agree with AJ, like, the idea is interesting, but I don't find the global idea interesting enough for me to go and want to go watch the other series.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's not there. Now, that
that's
may change as I see more of it. I don't know. But at least
yeah.
at this point in time, it's like I'll commit
right.
to watching part of one. You know,
yeah.
I don't care enough to go find the other one.
That's the thing. Who knows what's going to happen, especially now with the writer's strike and everything. The others haven't even, like, I think the Italian one is in, like, pre-production, which they have barely written a script for it. And I know there's something going on with the one with India. There's not even word of, I mean, they know who's going to be doing this stuff for Italy and India. Mexico and Spain they don't even have anybody on board yet, I don't think. So it's not anything that's going to be happening anytime soon. It's going to be...
Well, I mean, all the writers are doing it together, and, you know, they're involved. So at least if they do it, there's going to be, like, a coherence to it. But,
Well, that's not true. They actually have different showrunners for each. They're going to have different writers and showrunners for each show.
But they're working together to get it coherent. At least that's what I understood from what the writers said.
Oh, I think it's in the same universe, but not overlapping. It's kind of like the way X-Men is in the Marvel universe, but the X-Men have until now been a completely separate entity to the rest of Marvel, right?
That I don't know. I don't know.
I'm not aware that these five shows they won't require you to watch the other shows.
I don't think they're required to see the rest, but I think they're going to connect, I thought. At least that was my understanding.
Yeah, that's my understanding. Yeah. Like, we're going to see other agents that survived in... I mean, yeah, we're putting the cart before the horse here, I think.
I mean, I would like to see Amazon find a hit show and commit to it before they plan this. Like, can we name one really great Amazon hit show that they have
They should have kept and finished?
Right? The Wilds got canceled. Paper Girls got canceled. So The Man in the High Castle went 4 seasons, I think, and it was really good, but it was never a hit, right?
What about that? I never watched it, but Miss Maisel or whatever the hell?
Oh, yeah, Miss Maisel's gone. Okay, bona fide hit for, like, 4 seasons, yes. A lot of shows on Amazon that are good get canceled after 1 or 2 years. Like, they're not...
Citadel was renewed before it premiered.
That's
got a second season already.
I mean, that's not...
Yeah, but... But they are renewing a show that has no hit, you know what I mean? Like, no history whatsoever behind it.
No, I'm
agreeing
with you.
That just cost them $300 million.
That's not...
Oh, well, they had to renew it.
They do that.
They had to renew it. They invested a shit ton of money in 5 shows in 5 countries. There was no way that was ever not getting renewed, right?
Yeah. You know what I think the problem is, in my opinion? I think that the landscape of television is still changing because of streaming and everything. I mean, I think it's changed a lot, but I think that it's still shifting. And I think that, like, I agree with you, like, before you go doing something like this, like, take care of the ones you have that people like. Like, they flip-flop around. And it's not just Amazon. It's all of them. They don't put, like, they get one and then they start another one because – they don't give it the chance to be good. Like, they put too much into too many different things.
Oh, well, Netflix is a sinking ship. Netflix, that's all they do anymore is...
We've talked about that a lot.
Cancel stuff.
But it's not... But I'm saying it's kind of... They're all doing it. And I think that it's because of the way people watch television now. There's too much on.
That's not entirely true, actually. I slightly disagree with that. Paramount Plus is giving its shows a chance, which is why I think there's a good chance Rabbit Hole gets renewed.
Well,
because Paramount Plus, I can't think of anything yet that hasn't gotten a second season on Paramount Plus.
Yeah, Paramount Plus also had a network, was like network first, and it's more...
Well, yeah.
It's not like its own streaming thing, you know what I mean? Like, it's still connected to CBS and everything else. Not that that necessarily matters, but I'm just saying, like...
Yes, but a lot of their shows... But Paramount Plus exclusive shows never air anywhere else. You know, it's not like Rabbit Holes on CBS.
That's true. But I'm just saying they've done network television. Like, Netflix has never been, like, network.
Yeah, no, I know what you mean. Real quick, though, something actually about the episode of Citadel, since we didn't talk about the episode other than gloss over it. One thought I did have is I'm wondering if, because Mason's memory juice broke, so he's never going to get his memory back unless he actually remembers things.
Oh, yeah.
I'm wondering because the woman or whoever the hell it was that mentions that there was a traitor inside of Citadel that gave, you know, told Manticore all their secrets, which is how they got, you know, the list of names and everything and were able to take Citadel out. I'm wondering if it might turn out that Mason was the turncoat, because now he's never going to get his memory back. Yeah. Because now he's Kyle. Now he's Kyle.
They could do that, and then you're kind of like, well, he's not that person now. How do you kind
of
balance that?
Type of thing, yeah.
Yeah.
Which again, is a story that we've heard before. So,
and so that was a thing.
Go
ahead.
Real quick, to be fair, in the year 2023, it is really hard to come up with a story that nobody has heard in any way, shape, or form before. I mean. Especially since the streaming services, I mean, they're making movies for the streaming services. They're finally, which makes me happy, adaptations being made TV shows instead of movies, because they always get screwed up when they're a movie a lot of times, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, there's good and bad. When you try to find original programming, though, it is difficult, you know, because immediately, I mean, you know, Karen's like, oh, I felt like I was watching this because it's this and this, you know, and she's not wrong, you know. I mean, we say that with TV shows all the time. I mean, people were comparing the arc, I mean, while there's, you know, obvious differences, people were comparing the arc to the 100, you know.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, nothing's new anymore to some extent. And when it is, it's that gem that does really well.
Yes.
I mean, you're never going to get something completely unique no matter what, just because too much television, too many movies.
I mean,
they're not even necessarily copies. People have the same, you know, similar ideas, and they still, because they're based on whatever else and inspiration's the same, that kind of thing.
Right.
But I will say,
Rabbit Hole, while we've seen similar stories to what Rabbit Hole's doing, it's taken a unique turn because of John and how his character with this, you know, sorting out different scenarios and everything, I think kind of gives it that different feel.
Yeah, and it's
so
surprising.
It can be done.
Like, I've still been surprised.
Yeah.
I don't feel like every surprise I'm like, well, I've seen that coming, like we do for a lot of the shows.
Yeah.
I've definitely been surprised with it, so that's a good thing. I like to be surprised.
Yeah, quickly. There was that bit where, you know, AJ mentioned that Mason's vial was broken. I mean, I think that was in the fight in the kitchen. When we saw that fight in the kitchen,
his vial broke in the car accident. Bernard got shot.
That was shown she took the vial.
It did. That was shown. Because we saw Nina pick up the vial. We never saw her inject herself. We just saw her suddenly be like,
They showed her holding it. Now, granted, I don't know if the versions I saw had effects completely finished, but I thought, because I was a little confused and I rewound it, I took it to be that when they showed her holding it like that after the fight, that meant she had injected it like it was supposed to be empty. That was
I rewound it also because we saw her grab it from the box, and then next thing we see her saying like, "Oh, you're gonna wish I forgot you," or whatever she says in that line of whatever. We never saw her like, I'm waiting to see her inject herself with that thing, right? Which, of course, it's ridiculous, but I was a little disappointed, and I felt like, you know, from what I've read about all these episodes being recut and redone and reshot and this and that and all this mess with, you know, trying to get to something that they felt they could air, wasn't that a thing that we should see? Like, I was like, wait, what? Like, we never saw her.
Well,
right?
I agree, too. But you know how it played to me? Which I feel is kind of stupid, but I feel like they meant that they did it on purpose to play it like, by not showing us that she injected herself, when she starts kicking ass, it's like a shock to us, which it wasn't, because what else was going to happen? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'm kind of lazy. But you're right. You're right, though. They could have. That could be on the cutting room floor somewhere, her injecting herself, because they're like, okay, we don't need her injecting herself. The audience knows she's going to inject herself. We need to cut off. We need to shave off another 5 seconds.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, felt like I was waiting for it, and then you didn't even see it.
Right. I mean, we did also see that Mason was having this, like, you know, we saw this whole part where he was, like, his muscle memory was coming back, where you know, he was like, oh, you're where Stanley Tucci is, like, talking him through sneaking around. That might have been the first episode. And he's like, everything I say, like, it was all coming back to him being a spy. It's like, you almost don't have to remember being a spy. It's all there to you, right? And so we saw that. There's a sense where this show has set it up that he doesn't need his memories back. He's inherently got some sort of subconscious kind of thing going on, right?
Like, and I guess we see that he don't need it for the skills, but he's still going to be missing the...
No,
like,
but yet we saw the Nina character not inherently have those skills. Like, it kind of pissed me off that the man had those skills, came right back to him, but the woman did not have those skills come right back to her and was getting her butt kicked and her ass kicked, and it was only when she, I mean, I guess she injected herself off camera, and then it all comes, she gets her memories back, and now she's a super spy, right? That was a little annoying to me, that the man, Stanley Tucci's like, you can do this. I'll talk in your ear. Boo, 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 you're a super fighter, whatever, you can do it. And the woman doesn't have it unless she gets her memory back, right? Isn't that what happened? Isn't that what we saw on that screen? Did you guys not feel that way about it?
I didn't think about it that way, but you're right. You're not wrong.
Well, you're not wrong at all, but part of it is, I think him throwing the knife at her and her being like, what the hell are you doing? I think that was for comedy, obviously. That was a comedy moment.
Yep.
And even before she injected herself, yes, she was getting her ass kicked, because let's be fair, that's a big dude. All right, and, you know, the complete memory, I mean, she did kind of hold her own a little bit. She, you know, she got a couple of good shots in there. It wasn't until she injected herself that she had the whole skill set. So she wasn't completely inept, but I see what you're saying. You know, I hadn't really thought about it like that, but she didn't come to it as quickly as Mason did, which...
The only thing I can think is they have to some extent, have Mason come to it on his own, or there'd be no story, because he has no way of getting the memories back. Like, if he didn't remember some of the skills, he wouldn't be able to fight with her, type of thing.
Yes,
it's thin.
But...
It's very thin, and I totally think you're right to have
about
that.
It's extremely thin.
But, I mean, I kind of get, like, I think they kind of have to do it to make the story make sense in a way. But you're right. She should have had the same thing. She should have had some kind of innate muscle memory or remembered how to fight, because just because he's a guy doesn't mean that he'd be better at fighting. Like, she could have been, you know, she could have still remembered how to fight.
I see how you're seeing it, Karen, and I agree with that. I don't know that was necessarily their intent. I think Jamie's right that I think the reason he has a better muscle memory is because he needs to come back to everything on his own without the juice. Whereas anybody else that is going to need the juice isn't going to, you know, I think that.
I mean, that's
it was poor, that
if he hadn't talked to her longer, she wouldn't have started, remember, or if it was a smaller guy fighting her. I mean, we don't know, but
I don't think the problem is they didn't think it ahead.
Yeah, it kind of
they
was,
didn't
but
think
I don't
it
think
ahead.
It was done to be sexist. Like, I agree with you, but I don't think that, I think it's because he needs to remember or there's no story. I do think the thing with the knife was comedy. Like, it was something to be funny.
Yeah.
That's what I'm
saying. So it's kind of
I think when they wrote it.
He's like, oh, I thought you'd catch
they,
it. I get that, yeah.
Yeah, when they wrote it, they didn't think about how it was going to play out and what it was going to look like to the audience, which is why I'm saying Karen's exactly right. It was definitely sexist, but I don't know that
it
was intended
but I don't think
to
it was
sexist.
Meant.
Well, and they probably didn't think that I would watch The Diplomat first and have, like, my sexist
backbone
up. And then I would watch The Citadel and be like, are you fucking kidding me with this sexist bullshit?
They also probably didn't expect you to read, all like, 30 reviews saying how awful the show was before you watched it either.
Well, yes.
Exactly
but to be
I
fair, I read zero reviews that commented on this. That this is my own thing out of my own brain about
no,
this.
No, I know.
Texas
I know.
This was not in the reviews. This is
yeah.
a nice
you were but. You were looking for other things. You were like, all right, they were right about that. What else can I find?
I mean, I'm not wrong. It's not
I'm
wrong
kidding.
That
no,
the
you're
man,
not. You're not.
The
you're
man
not wrong
has
at all.
Muscle memory and the
you're
woman
not wrong
needs.
At all.
Do you, my questions are, do you think he's going to eventually get his memory back? So, cause I question
yes.
the fact
yep.
that the science that they can, like, remotely erase your memory is weak to begin with.
Yep.
Well,
yes.
but
yes.
I don't have a problem with that science.
Anywhere. It's the point he's not supposed to be able to, but I question he won't. Anyway.
It's the science in the show, so I'm okay with it. You know, I mean, there's been crazier
yeah.
sciences and things we've watched.
Right, but
so
I'm just
I'm
saying,
okay with
I
that.
Wonder if it's going to end up eventually that he will.
Yes, I
like,
think so.
Actually,
feeling it, he probably will.
Do you know what the first thing I thought of was when Bernard says to him, be careful with that, it's the only one. My first thought was, seriously?
Right.
Like, you don't have
it's
a backup somewhere?
Yet.
Like, come on.
Yeah.
Like, that's just
yes.
stupid.
Yes. I mean, this is a show.
Yeah.
I texted you guys almost immediately. I texted you and said, are you kidding me? You put all the nuclear codes in the entire world into a single
yep.
briefcase. How stupid is that, right? And
yeah.
AJ's like, well, probably not. And so the idea that you only have one copy of your entire memories, AJ, you're probably right. There's probably another copy. And I think that if he doesn't get his memories back, is there a love triangle? Like is the love triangle between his wife and Nina? Like, it's not established that he had a relationship with Nina, but in the first scene, they're very flirty. They have this very love-hating
yeah, they've definitely,
kind of broken up kind of thing, right? They've been together, they've broken up, whatever. And yes, he could still be flirty with her, but he appears to be devoted to the wife. And if he doesn't get his memories back, where is that love triangle, right? Like, I feel like that. Also, AJ, you're right. Like, how,
wow.
it's too stupid to only have one copy. It's idiotic to not have a redundancy. So that's got to be coming, right?
I really think that it, I mean, it's just a theory of mine, but the way it's going to play, I feel like it, I can see it playing out is as they're investigating everything and they're like, okay, we got to figure out who the mole was and everything. And they're going to figure out that he was the mole and he, you know, it's going to play out with, I'm not that person anymore. So I wouldn't be surprised if he doesn't, if there isn't
yeah,
another copy,
he
doesn't completely get his memory back.
Oh, like if he deleted his own second copy. Yeah.
Again,
now, as far as, as far as the love triangle, you know, the way it should go, I mean, he is completely devoted to his wife and kid, 110%. So I feel like for him to, regardless of whether he gets his memories back or not, I don't feel like he had that kind of commitment with Nina, right? Yeah.
Nina, yeah.
I don't feel like they had that kind of commitment to each other. You know, while there might have been some hot sex there, you know, with two pretty people, I don't feel like – and that's – but unfortunately, that's probably the way the story will end up going.
Remember, though –
or maybe not. I don't know.
After all, whatever happened, though.
Right.
Like, he didn't know his wife back when he knew Nina, so –
Well, and I also think – that while you're correct that they have established – as he's devoted to his wife, he's in love with his wife and child, they're very important to him. I don't feel that it's only been two episodes, so they haven't had a chance yet to establish a really deep, loving bond between them. Like, I know he loves her because they told me he loves her, and he told me he loves her. But, you know, I mean, I got to say, what's the actor's name who plays Mason? He and Priyanka Chopra have undeniable chemistry on screen. Those two are the best part of the show is those two together on screen, like sparks are flying, right? And that's one of the best parts of the show. Okay, him and his suburban soccer mom wife are not going to have this kind of sparks, but I think they need to, in the coming couple of episodes, show me that a little bit more. Like, I like the wife, I like the kid, but
I think I felt like Richard Mann and Ashley Cummings had really good chemistry together. You know, they looked like a couple that has been together for
8 years
whatever,
or
whatever,
however.
Whatever,
yeah.
Okay.
However long
right.
it's been.
That's fair enough.
You know?
Fair enough.
I think, yeah. I can't, see, I can't
it's,
say.
It's
I
a
know
different,
it's further ahead,
you,
it's, so I can't really say anything more at this point.
Yeah. It's a different kind of chemistry, but it's that loving chemistry. You know what I mean? Like, you could, I don't know. I can,
yep.
I can see how the their love from 8 years for the last 8 years, you know,
all right.
I mean,
and that's,
I mean, one
that's
thing,
cool.
One thing,
I can
one thing
that
I'll say
that
is
you thought I, that's cool. Yeah.
One thing I'll say is this is definitely a step up for Ashley Cummings from her last project that we saw her in,
which was, what was it?
Nosferatu.
Yeah. I was
oh, she was in Nosferatu.
She was
yeah.
Vic.
Yes.
She was Vic.
She was Vic in Nosferatu. Oh my God. We hated that. Mm.
Well, you and I did.
Yeah. Well, we didn't hate her. We thought she was good. Actually.
No.
She was probably
we,
the high
liked,
point of
we,
it.
Yeah. Yeah. Her and her yeah. and her mom. We liked the family stuff.
Yeah. I mean, that's fair. So to me, I didn't really see that spark. But if other people saw it, then it, whatever, that's fine. I just missed it. But, I mean, that's going to be the conflict for this character, right, is the wife and kid and
yeah.
and Nina. It's almost kind of not a choice, I think, also. I mean, I guess if you're, you have this past spark, but you have a beautiful family. I don't know. It's a little bit, you know what, now I'm going to make another comparison, a little bit like True Lies, where the Jamie Lee Curtis character is like, my husband's a spy. There's this whole, idea of this sexy spy relationship, but the secret family at home and which is more important, right? Remember that? That was kind of,
yeah.
Like I'm giving a little too much heft to True Lies, which at its very basic level is two hot people doing the tango and shooting guns. but there was that part of it where, is your spy thing more important than your family? And it wasn't.
Right.
So that, whatever, when I say that's where that's going, what do I really know what I'm talking about, right? Whatever. Shut me up. It's
okay.
Citadel. It's a lot of money,
yeah.
And it's going wherever, and we'll see what happens.
We got four episodes left, so we'll see where it goes.
Yeah.
Okay.
A little bit.
I'll give it some time. All right.
All right.
Talk about next week. Two more next week, or one more? Is it going to be one more or two more per week?
I don't know.
I want to say one, but don't. I'm not 100% sure. I can look at it real quick.
I feel like I think it's one, but I could be wrong.
Usually it's one, but I'm not.
Yeah.
We'll see.
I got to say, it was definitely smart of them to drop the first two, because had I just watched the first episode, I might have been a
There's
little
no
more
way.
Annoyed.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So. All right.
All right.
At least in this
anything
not. Oh wait, yes
yeah.
it does.
Anything else?
Of Citadel consists of six episodes, with two premiering on April 28th and one episode rolling out weekly through May 26th. So no, there's one.
All right, so one
there we
more
go.
Next week,
and
right.
that is from the press release I have. So that's true.
All right.
All right. Well, I guess that's it for me since I haven't seen the other show yet. I may try to watch it if I have time. I wanted to see it. I thought it looked pretty good. But after
Mrs.
listening,
Davis?
You, yeah. But after
Ugh,
listening
yeah.
to you too, I don't know. But that's where I said shit read reviews now. But we tend to sometimes think similar, so I don't know. It makes me leery of spending putting that many hours into it. But don't have time right now anyway.
It's weird.
So.
Not what I was expecting at all.
Other stuff to do. Yeah. The only other show I've
yeah,
seen.
Yeah, yeah, Jamie, you got enough stuff to do.
Yeah, I've got enough stuff to see now. But I was going to say, I did see one show that isn't really the kind of things we watch, but Primo, which is kind of like a sitcom, I guess you'd call it. I thought it was pretty good. I mean, it's not the kind of show we cover, but I just was going to say, I did see it, and I thought it was pretty good. Like, I wanted to see more of it. I enjoyed it. It was funny. It's not like a serious
Actually,
thing or anything, but I thought it was
pretty good.
Speaking
of things coming up, Have you seen all of Silo or just a couple episodes?
No, I've seen all of it.
All of it. How'd you like it?
I liked it. Yeah, I saw all of it. I'm like, wait, did I see all of it?
It's on a channel that I don't have. It's
Apple
Time, right?
Apple TV.
Apple, yeah.
It's on Apple TV.
I won't watch it. I've read the book, but I don't have.
Yeah,
Apple, so
I like it. It's a different show. I didn't expect a lot of it to be, like I said, a lot of it is sort of like weekly, like sort of mystery. A little, it's not completely, but like it's got like
mystery of the week.
Yeah. Thing, which I didn't sort of expect, but it's got a lot of over, you know.
Yeah, I watched the trailer. I watched the trailer for it, and I was like, oh, is that show Jamie was talking about? And I was like, it seems kind of interesting. Actually, you know what? You know what kind of vibe I got from it a little bit was Hunger Games.
Yeah.
Like Hunger Games. But part three, that's what I mean, the tone.
Part three when they're in the bunker and they're rebelling against everything, that's what it kind of, you know, and they're like, don't go outside. They're
like,
why not?
I see what you mean. It's just the tone of it.
Silo's kind of part of it. Like, I've read Wool. You haven't read Wool, Jamie, right? I've read Wool. I've read Silo. I've read Sam. Hugh Howey has a bunch of books, and I've read Silo, and I, you know, it's the mystery happening in that incredible silo they live in at the end of the world, or in the post whatever happened in the world. But I, you know, not having Apple, I don't know that I'm ever going to watch it, which is too bad because I do really like the Hugh Howey novels. I haven't read how much it is to it, or whatever. And I don't know if Apple has any intention to make his other books into. I don't know if there's an intention to make any of his other books into a show. And the interesting thing is that I think Hugh Howey was like a self-published Amazon guy. I don't think he was a. If I remember correctly, I think he sort of got his own books on Amazon, and they kind of took off, and he wasn't like a traditionally published author.
Cool. I think.
Yeah.
All right.
Anyway, I got to tell you guys, I watched everything on TV this week to try to put off Mrs. Davis, which I hate so much. I watched every spy show on every channel ever. I watched like a million minutes of television, and in the end, I had to watch Mrs. Davis for this podcast.
Let me put it to you this way: my week began. I watched that movie Ghosted with Ana de Armas and Chris Evans on Apple. And right before I started to watch that, I'm like, should I watch Miss Davis? And I'm like, nah, I'm watching a movie. I'll watch Miss Davis later. And then the next day it was, oh, The Rookie and Rookie Feds are back on finally. I got to watch Miss Davis. You know what? I'll get to it before the podcast. And
you
then
guys
it was,
aren't making me feel like then, I should go wrestle and watch it.
No, I'm telling you, don't rush to go watch it.
I was more interested, I think, because it was about AI and it made it sound interesting. But let me tell you, it doesn't sound like it. I found out about it because.
Go ahead.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, go, AJ, go.
I found out about Miss Davis because I was, you know, it just happened. An article caught my eye, and it was like the 10 TV shows that everybody has to watch, and Miss Davis was on that list. Some of the other ones I was already watching. Yeah, and it's Damon Lindelof too. That's another reason I was like, okay, you know, I'm reading the blurb about it, and I'm like, this does sound kind of interesting, and it's Damon Lindelof, so I'm like, okay, I'll give it a shot. And I watched the first episode, and I was like, what the hell? I was like, she's a nun? I'm like, what the hell is going on here? And each week I just more and more going, what the hell? There are some things I like about it, but Karen and I get into that more once Jamie says goodnight.
I got to tell you, Jamie, since the last Mrs. Davis a week ago, I watched 8 episodes of The Diplomat. I watched at least 6 or 8 episodes of The Night Agent. I watched 3 episodes of, what is that crappy, The Consultant. I tried to watch The Gray Man. I have tried to watch every single show that's out there to avoid Mrs. Davis, which I watched today, and I was like, whatever, it's not, you know, it's actually better than some of this crap spice stuff that I watched, but it's not like, yeah, I really, Mrs. Davis, Jamie, don't. Let us finish talking about it, and you get on with your life, okay?
All right, well, I'm going to go. You guys talk about it.
All right.
All right.
Good luck with whatever you got going on.
Yeah, next week we'll, if you guys have seen Silo, maybe we'll talk a bit about it. I know, Karen, you don't have
it.
Apple. Maybe you'll get a preview or something.
Yeah.
All right.
All right.
We'll talk to you guys later then.
All right.
Night.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. Let's talk about Mrs. Davis. AJ, I do not like this show, and I watched it this week.
I think we need to stop, Karen. I think we need to stop.
It was kind of better, and yet a gigantic waste of time this week. Like, this entire episode was basically a flashback to, remember last week when you were like, oh my God, in the end it turns out that video is a commercial. What the hell? That's so annoying. And then this episode is almost entirely a flashback into how and why that commercial was made.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I'd say 75% of this episode was about that.
Oh, yeah.
The
only parts that weren't about that was when they were on, when they like would cut into it and be on the beach, like when Wiley would make a comment or something. Otherwise, it was all about the flashback.
And Schrodinger was like, "Will you shut up? You're so annoying."
Yeah.
And then in the last, like, maybe 3 minutes of the episode, they reveal that Clara's liver was the liver that was transplanted into both Lizzie and Wiley when they were children, right?
Yep.
And so because they have the liver, I'm not even sure what that means. That means that maybe, what does it mean? They could maybe drink out of the grail, because when the mouse drank out of the
grail,
mouse died, but then the cat ate the mouse and whatever, right?
And didn't.
Yeah.
So maybe they can
drink out of it and, yeah.
If you get essence of the grail secondhand, you're okay. And Schrodinger's theory is, if you drink from the grail and you're immune, that you'll destroy the grail.
Unproven, but whatever, and, yeah.
Well, it's a theory. Again, theory, you know.
Yeah,
I mean,
it's a theory. How did you like this episode?
I'll say this about the episode. It actually answered a bunch of questions, like, you know, like the episode when he falls on the sneakers, and it's like, why are there like thousands of boxes of sneakers buried under the Vatican? You know,
yeah.
And now
yeah.
We find out mm-hmm. in this episode what we find out in this episode why, you know, we find out
yeah.
you know the whole thing about the grail needing to be in constant movement, otherwise it emits a foul odor. It's so stupid, and the fact that he
yeah.
gave it to a whale.
Yeah.
It's just. Yeah, I mean, there's just – but one thing I will say about it is I kind of like the spiritual interpretation of things, of how they – you know, I like that when Lizzie closes her eyes, she's actually there, you know, there with Jesus and everything, you know. I like that aspect. I think that's kind of an interesting way to do it, you know. And I like the fact that they've established it's not just in her head, that she's like transported to heaven or wherever the heck. And I love the fact that they make God like vengeful, you know.
That's not really clear. Like in the beginning he's got like a, he's been in a fight and he's bruised, he's got a cut in his
right.
head, right? And Lizzie says, was
yeah.
that the boss? And he's like, no, it's not the boss. It wasn't the boss. And she doesn't really believe him, but that doesn't mean that he's not telling her the truth. Like,
well, no,
I don't believe that Jesus ever doesn't tell the truth. He always
tells the
truth, I think.
Feel that way. I feel that way because when she made some kind of comment and then, like, the room shook, you know? And she was like,
yeah.
oh, you know, that's what I mean. I just, you know, like, and there's been other times where, And she's okay. been like, I'll talk to the boss. And, right. Jesus is like, are you sure you want to do that? I mean,
but I
my point is,
I just... Yeah.
Vengeful might be
the
wrong word. Vengeful might be the wrong word.
God's paying attention. And God is maybe not always happy with Lizzie, what Lizzie is doing. But
yeah.
vengeful
yeah.
is not. Vengeful
might be the wrong word.
I mean, Lizzie's
but,
not.
But I like
the
way... I like the way it's depicted and everything. You know, for me, my question would be, you know, I want to know why Lizzie hasn't gone to Jay and been like, hey, why when you made the bowl does it smell? Like, what did you do to it to make it smell?
Well, Jesus didn't do it, right? I mean, I think maybe Jesus didn't do it or create it, but whatever. Yeah, that's fair. Why didn't she ask her husband about that?
I thought, My knowledge of Catholicism isn't as good as yours,
but I thought
Jesus
crafted
the Holy Grail.
It's the drink that – it's the cup that Jesus drank from at the Last Supper. You're correct. Yeah, it's the cup Jesus drank from the Last Supper. And he drops it, and it cracks, So I do think it's clear that J/Jesus is not telling Lizzie – even remotely any part of the truth at any point, right? He's always being very cagey and saying, like, just go buy the cake and give it to the Pope. I promise it'll make sense. That doesn't make him a bad guy, right? That makes Jesus is all-knowing and maybe can't tell her or whatever. But I agree with you. I do like that relationship and you know, for me, you know, being a Catholic person who actually, you know, I work for the Catholic Church, I'm not like a super crazy devout person, but I'm a, you know, I went to Catholic school and whatever. And I find it a pretty interesting and cool way of representing her relationship with her faith, right? I like that. We talked about it last week. And I like her being like, the way this week, like, Lizzie feels like, is Jesus lying to her? Is he not telling her the truth? Is he misleading her? Like, all of her doubts are kind of cool, I think, right?
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, like,
and then
she's like, oh, wait, I love you, it's fine, I love you.
Yeah. I like
That's
the way they're
cool.
doing it because, like you said, he's never lied to her. But he doesn't always tell her the whole story, which is fine because and he tells her things in ways like the thing with the cake, you know, and I like the way that it kind of rings true because like, you know, that's part of the whole faith is, you know, you can't be told what to do. You have to kind of figure things out on your own. Otherwise, what's the point? You know? So I kind of felt like that scene with the cake, that kind of like was that type of thing. But back to the Clara thing, I don't know about you, but I was expecting it, and I still laughed out hysterically when Clara's head went pop.
Oh, yeah. That was pretty cool. I did find it was funny. It was a little preachery again, right? We talked about that. And yet the whole episode was a giant waste of time because we get the long, 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 long backstory about Matilda and Clara and their terrible relationship and this and that. In the end, she has to sleep with her father and then she dies. And it was kind of, we get invested in this whole story and then her head blows off. So we're not going to meet her. She's never going to be a character.
Right.
And what does it really mean for Lizzie and Wiley to have heard this whole story? Right. I'm not really sure.
To find out about the liver.
Oh yeah.
That was
the
whole
liver,
point of the story.
But it was like 55 minutes of a long character explanation that is never going to pay off. It doesn't mean anything, right?
But that's what I'm saying. The whole payoff at the end of the episode, that was literally the point that they took 55 minutes to get there.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I mean, I'm not even sure.
Which was maybe 35 minutes too long, in my opinion, honestly, right?
Yeah. Oh, I agree. Yeah, I mean, overall, I'm not really sure what the point of the show even is. I know she's on this mission to find the Grail and destroy it because the AI asked her to, which is ironic because she hates the Grail because she blames the Grail for her father's death, which
Yeah.
Honestly, I wish they would kind of get back to that. I'd like to see that flashback to see why she thinks the AI had anything to do with her father's dad. I mean, maybe the AI told her dad, go do this magic trick. You've got this in the bag, and he didn't. Or it turns out that her mother's right, and he faked his death.
I felt like the anti-algorithm business has sort of not really been strong enough or played enough for me, right? Like, we heard nothing of the algorithm really for the last 2 weeks, and we had this whole separate thing with the Holy Grail going on, and the similarities I see to Preacher are really not based on the divine. Like, in Preacher, there's the whole thing with the voice of the divine and the voice of God and all that, right? It's not really why I see similarities here. They're more in tone and style and, you know.
I get why you see it.
It's
just Preacher was interesting. This is kind of blah.
It's kind of blah. Like, I'm not really sure what this whole episode, this last hour, really meant or where it took us and what it means. I mean, there were some fun moments. It was entertaining to see Wiley and Lizzie constantly interrupt Schrodinger, and he's like, will you stop? I'm trying to tell you a story. And they're like, okay, that was humorous. It wasn't hilarious. And there was a story about there's a story about a young woman whose mother couldn't love her because she's committed to her job and her vocation and like whatever, but it wasn't really like, what the hell's going on? Like, I don't even like, what? Why am I watching this? I really, AJ, I'm surprised at the critical acclaim the show is getting. And
I see
headlines that say things like Mrs. Davis is a successor to Watchmen and The Leftovers. And I'm like, no, it's not. Just because Damon Lindelof wrote it doesn't make it this good. It's not as good. Like, what? I really don't like this show. I'm only watching it because we talk about it every week. I would be happy to not finish this show, actually.
Yeah,
I'm not
too.
Interested in the resolution.
That's what I was thinking this whole week. I mean, we both were pushing it off. I mean, I actually watched it in 2 days. I watched it at work on my lunch break. I watched the first half of my lunch break yesterday, and I watched the second half today of my lunch break.
Yeah.
I watched it on my phone because I don't care enough to watch it on the TV.
Yeah. And meanwhile, our new favorite show, The Diplomat, I watched in like 2 days. Right?
Ooh,
8 episodes in 2 days.
I had to watch it in 3 because I just didn't have the time to finish it yesterday.
Yeah, you got a different kind of a job and a family, whatever. But anyway, yeah, Mrs. Davis, not. I don't recommend it. I don't really see much redeeming about it. I don't like it.
Yeah,
as I said last week.
Sorry. I find Lizzie somewhat interesting. I don't find anybody. I could care less about Wiley. I wouldn't be.
Oh my goodness,
I would. I would actually not mind it if Wiley disappeared and she was on this journey on her own.
Yeah, yeah. I agree. And as we discussed last week, it's not like you and I don't like kooky television. We loved Legion. We love Twin Peaks. We liked Preacher a lot in the beginning. We stuck with it to the end. We like kooky television. We loved Watchmen. Watchmen was amazing. Watchmen was an incredible show, right?
Yeah.
And Mrs. Davis is just not, yeah.
Yeah. So, unless you have anything else to add, speaking of The Diplomat, oh my God.
Do you like it?
Just a little bit. You know what's funny? When they got to the point with when they thought that Russians were behind everything, I was like, this is kind of funny because she played a Russian spy on the Americans, and now she's on the other side of the table.
Yeah, but she's kind of playing the same person in a sense, right? She's playing a person who is so committed to her country and her job and to like the thing that she does and at the expense of her relationships and the people around her because she's so committed, right? She's kind of the same person. Have you finished it? Have you watched the whole thing?
Yeah, I finished
it
today.
I watched
four the first day. I watched two yesterday, and then I watched the last two today.
I mean, I thought, and people who are listening haven't watched it, I think it had a really good story. It's a little complicated conspiracy kind of thing that you got to pay attention to, but no worse than a lot of other shows. And the characters are pretty well defined. You know, I have a small issue with the main character, with the Carrie Russell character. Her name is, what's her name?
Kate.
I have a minor issue with this idea that a woman who is competent and smart and a straight shooter can't also own a hairbrush. Like, bothers me a lot, right? Like, like,
well, they actually addressed that when one of her assistants, like, very cautiously and quietly and carefully puts the hairbrush on the table when she came back from Washington.
Yeah. Well, I like the part where she gets yogurt on her suit, and then later she says, like, this is why I wear black.
This is why I wear black.
This wouldn't show up on a black suit. And I appreciate that, but I really don't think that she could be at the level she's at in her own career and be married to a man who's a former ambassador, right? How was an ambassador? She's an ambassador's wife, and she literally, like, won't brush her hair or put on a skirt? Like, come on. Like, I think it's a little, I don't know, I feel like, as a woman who has a job
I feel like she
could brush her own hair.
Did you watch Homeland?
Yeah. Not all of it, but I watched a good early chunk of it.
I definitely get a Carrie vibe from her in certain aspects.
Yeah.
Carrie was very much like that. Carrie was very much business suits, no dresses. Because when you think about, like, she's, you know, sounds like for Kate, most of her career also was in the Middle East, you know? I mean, she was supposed to be going to Cabo, you know? So I get why she's more of that type of person that doesn't do dresses at work because it's not, you know.
I get it. And the creator of this show, I forget her name, but the creator of the show was a writer on both Homeland and The West Wing. So
oh, really?
You know
I didn't know that about
the
writer.
Yes. I do think it's possible to brush your hair under a headscarf. And I think that Hal was an ambassador. She has combed her hair before. So to me, there's a little bit there, but, you know, there's a little bit the stereotypical woman who she's a straight shooter. She can't also be like, you know, she's whatever. But in general, I love the character. I love the dynamic with her and her horrible husband, Hal, who's like,
Hal is horrible. I got to say, I mean, Rufus Sewell is killing it. I mean, he's played these type of characters before, but it's like, it's like you wanna hate Hal. You want him to leave. You feel like she would be so much more successful without him around. But at the same time, he is so charismatic and he's such a character that you don't want him to go. Like, I don't want them to be together because I want to see the sparks between her and her British counterpart there. And it's
every time Hal is helping her, it's like, is he really helping himself? And there's that whole part where she's like, wait a minute, you told me to torpedo the Secretary of State and now you're going for Secretary of State. Like, he's the worst. He's a great husband and he's the worst husband at the same time, right? He's so horrible.
Yeah.
And he's like, every time he helps her, and yet then he undermines her. He's trying to advance, like, they're so competitive, and yet he has this, like, sexual dysfunction, right? He's like, oh, I can't get it up for anyone except you. I'm like, which I'm not sure, like, to Hal, that's love. Hal's like, I love you so much that I can't get it up for anyone except you. I'm not sure that's true love or
dysfunction. I don't know the history on that.
Whatever that is,
I don't know. I'd have to.
But
I'd have to Google
show,
to
that's
see
what
if
he
that's
says in
thing,
the show,
but,
right? In
yeah,
the show, he says
yeah,
that like he can't get it up except with
yep.
her.
Yeah.
I'm not really. I don't know that I like. That's not necessarily true love, but he's so untrustworthy. Like I don't know. Every time he, I don't know. Like I believe he loves her,
you know,
but I believe he loves himself more. Maybe right.
It's
not
like
really
it's
sure
and that's the thing. Like
there.
when he was trying to be the wife, I believe he was genuinely trying, but he just can't. Like as much like as
yeah.
as many you know as much progress as he made in that area, it's like it, you know it can't last. You know it's
he's,
not gonna
yeah.
last. You know,
he's
and,
too
and
ambitious
it doesn't help that,
and too competitive, right?
Yeah. Well, it also doesn't help that he's really good at his job, like, you know, and he has the connections and he has people that are willing to tell him things that they're not going to tell, you know what I mean? So her having him on her team is a good thing for her, but the question always is, what is he also doing at the same time for himself? You know, how is he going to torpedo her to advance himself?
Well, and apparently he did something. We don't know what it is, but he's sort of persona non grata in the White House, right? Like, he did some shit that made him, like, lose his job. Nobody will hire him, right? He can't get another job in the
well,
Diplomatic Service right
it's
now.
Connected, well, yeah, it's connected to Gannon.
Yeah, yeah.
Because of the shit he did with Gannon. I mean, what you call it, Michael McKean even says it. You know, when they're like, we're sending you to London, and she's like, no. She's like, I'm going to Cabo, and they're like, not anymore. They're like, she's like, I'm not good at this. Like, that's, no, I don't want that position. They're like, send Hal. And
yeah.
Mike McKinney says, he's like, I can't send
McKean,
Hal. I
yeah.
promised I would, I promised Gannon I would never send Hal anywhere again.
Yeah, yeah. Like, Hal's the worst. Like, he's done a lot of bad shit, and
yeah.
don't want him around anymore, but he, like... It's a really interesting relationship where she is so competent in her own right,
yeah.
but she's not the sort of back-channel operator that Hal is, and he just can't help doing it without asking her. Like, when they're working together, they do a great job. But when he under...
Yeah.
It's so good. Like I just feel like the actual mystery was maybe not that good at first, like the ship being bombed, the British ship being bombed in like Iraqi waters
yeah.
or not, or in Saudi waters in the Iraqis. Like in the beginning, I felt that was a very simplistic and maybe irresponsible storyline, right? To have a British ship bomb, and then I was like, then it gets so complicated. All of a sudden, you're like, wait a minute, I right? Like, who did it? Was the Russians? Was it not the Russians? Was the actual prime minister? Like, all that was so cool. And the way Kate, it's not a mystery of the week. She doesn't solve a problem every week, but these big, she's so good at this. It's like, she's amazing. I loved every episode.
Yeah. I did too. I mean, I couldn't, like I said, I would have probably sat here for 8 hours and watched the whole damn thing if I could have.
Yeah, and you know, almost everyone
like,
I know
last,
loves it.
And it's actually funny. Like last night, I watched I watched episode 5, and it was like 10 minutes to 12 by the time I finished, and I was like, I need to go to bed. I was like, nope. I was like,
one
I am
more.
Watching
one
the
more.
Next episode. Because I knew I could do 2 today. So I said, I am watching the next episode so I could do 2 tomorrow so Karen and I can talk about it on the podcast.
Yeah.
Like, and honestly, I don't remember the last time I felt like that about a TV show where I was like, I cannot wait to see this next episode.
Oh, yeah. And you kind of, you know, I kind of felt at the end of it like I was disappointed because I was like, oh, here I watched the whole thing in like a week and now I got to wait forever
uh-huh.
to find
exactly. I felt the same
it's been
way.
Renewed now.
Oh yeah.
Yep.
Well,
but
it even
like,
says it on Netflix already. Like at the end of the episode, when it goes back to the screen, it says another season is coming.
Yeah. But I almost kind of wish I watched one episode a week for a week, so I wouldn't have to wait now for like at least a year. How'd you like the ending? How did you like the way it ends with?
I tell you what, that was crazy.
Yeah.
It was, you know, with the way, you know, with them sorting it through, you know, her and, oh, I can't think of his name.
the guy who works in our office?
Secretary, the British, no, the British
oh, no,
secretary.
The British guy. Yeah, his name is like, it's not
yeah.
Denim, but it's something like that.
When they were working through it, you know, when she was all pissed off and he's like, what are you talking about? He's like, I would have to sign off on something like that. And like all of a sudden her wheels start spinning and she's like, oh my God. And she throws the phones in her purse so they can't, you know,
mm-hmm.
And you know, and she's like, who, you know, and like they come to the conclusion that, you know,
the prime minister,
that the prime minister hired the guy himself to bomb his own ship to start a war with Iran.
With Iran.
It was like
promote his own political, yeah.
To continue his own political.
Yep.
And then, you know, and then of course the car
Hal
explosion.
Is going to be with this guy, yeah.
Which that I tell you what, that caught me off guard because I wasn't expecting anything like that. Like I was kind of confused, like what the big deal was. Like I was trying to understand what, you know, and then, you know, the way it ends, I feel like he wanted to talk to Hal because I get the feeling this guy knows something about.
Well, that guy, guy who was a member of parliament who approached Hal at the speech, who wanted to talk to him, and was like, meet me at the bar. Yeah.
Yeah.
That guy knows something.
I feel like he's
right?
got, yeah, I feel like he doesn't know anything anymore because he's
dead.
Sidewalk chalk.
Yeah.
And that's the other thing.
How
close was Hal and I can't remember his name either. Jeez,
a show that I like this much,
you think I would know more of the names that I wouldn't forget them.
That guy who was Kate's assistant in the embassy, her deputy special assistant guy, he was close. Hal was very close.
Yeah.
Right, but I feel like there's no way Hal can die because Hal is such an incredible part of the story. How could you tell the story without him?
And you know, that's the other great thing about the show. All the supporting characters were great too. Like I love the B storyline with her deputy guy there, and the CIA woman. Their relationship and everything.
Yeah.
I totally saw that coming. When she got in the bed, I totally saw that coming. I had a feeling those two were together. But I mean, even that, I thought, you know, it wasn't one of those shows where like, you know, when they were on the screen, it was like, oh, I'll get back to the A story. I was intrigued by their story too, and all the inner workings of everybody involved. Like, I don't think there's a scene I didn't like. Like everything was intriguing.
Yeah.
And I tell you, I loved. You know, you say that, you know, it was kind of thin with, you know, the bombing in the first place, but everything that comes after that with all those meetings and you know, watching them all work through things and come and think, okay, how about this, and all the different ways they try and play each other to get what they want. I mean, all that to me was just so, so incredibly intriguing. But I got to tell you, you know what hooked me immediately? I was hooked on this show 20 minutes in. Because when she's getting changed and she goes over to Hal and sticks her armpit in his fucking face, and he's like, it's not great.
Really?
I laughed my ass off. I was like, that is some true love marriage shit right there. You know?
Really?
I loved that.
I wondered about that.
It was
on
hilarious.
The one hand, I thought, as a grown woman, on the one hand, I thought, okay, this is like a married couple. You know, would Alyssa be like, AJ, do I smell? Do I need deodorant? Whatever. Is that really realistic married couple? On the other hand, I thought, this is a grown professional woman who doesn't know if she needs deodorant unless she asks her husband. Like, what? I wasn't really sure how to take that episode.
You know what? Actually, that was something I said to myself afterwards, though. I did wonder if she had some kind of problem smelling. Because usually, I mean, we've all done it where we're like, you know, turn our heads inside, lift our arm and go, you know, we're like, or, ooh, you know.
Yeah.
But that scene, like, I mean, Alyssa would never do that to me. but there are certain little married quirks that people do to each other that you might see on TV and be like, who the hell does that?
And so for you as a married person, that rang true.
That for me that I was like that is a totally
Like, and it's funny because my first initial reaction was, that is a loving thing. That is some people have been married for a minute, and that, you know, that is just some marriage shit right there. But then you find out that they're not happy. Well, she's not happy and wants to divorce him.
You can
so
see
it's,
why.
It's kind of like, it's a very, I mean, it's such an interesting relationship because she wants to divorce him, yet she doesn't, you know? And it's like, I mean, he has that scene where he's like, yeah, we're not getting divorced. But she said she's divorcing you. He's like, yeah, she says it all the time. She's not going anywhere. She goes, she'll tell me to leave, and then she'll ask me to stay. Like, and she even has that conversation with Dennings later where, you know, she's like, you know, after all these years, you'd think I would have learned by now. I just need to break it off. You know, it's like, how many times do we have to do the same dance over and over and over again?
Well, I mean, they're so messed up because their relationship and any sort of loving whatever they have between them is so tied up in their professional careers that it can't be undone. And like, so there's the part with them having sex and whether it was functional or whatever in their love, but kind of like the way he shows love for her is to make a call to Washington to solve a problem for her or to, you know, and then he'll like undermine her by advancing his own career. But the way he shows love is so tied up in their work.
Yeah.
It's like really messed
up.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Right?
You know, I get why she was so pissed off when she put the pieces together and she was like, oh my God, you want Gannon's job. You want to be secretary.
Yeah.
While I get why she was pissed off, all I could think is, who cares? Because you're going to be VP and you're going to be his boss.
Mm. No, but they can't. See? They can't be VP. You cannot have a married couple be VP. Only one of them gets the job.
Why,
can't a married couple be VP and Secretary of State?
Is there a law that I don't know about?
Well, I mean, is there a law? I don't know. I don't think there's a law because when the Constitution was written, it was inconceivable that women would ever have jobs in the first place, right? It was written like 1792 or whatever, right?
Could have been amendments since then, but
I mean, I think the separation of powers would dictate that you can't have a Secretary of State who and I think the American people wouldn't talk. I mean, I just think it wouldn't happen. It could not happen, right? Like, politically speaking, it's a non-starter.
I don't know, though.
They don't both get the job. I mean, I think that's part of the tension on the show is that when she feels he's undermining her for him to be Secretary of State, he's going to sacrifice her chances to be VP so he could be Secretary of Defense or whatever, State Defense, right? State? What's he going for? Defense. I think they both can't get the job, and I think he's willing to sacrifice her, and I get the impression that maybe that's always been the case. He seems to be a little older, a little more successful, a little more political. She's a career foreign service officer. She's been happy working in the trenches, right? And I think he's going to I don't think they can both get that job, the two jobs. I don't think a married couple could be Secretary of Defense and VP. I think it would never – yeah. Is it unconstitutional? Probably not. Could it ever really happen? Probably not also, right? Like, you can have, like, look at all the opposition to, like, Hillary Clinton having any sort of authority in Bill Clinton's administration. It just was not a non-starter for the American people, right? I don't know. Anyway, that's where I see the show going. I don't really know, but I see the show going in this direction that for Hal to pursue this would mean sacrificing Kate's chances. And that's partly why she was so mad, because her husband is like, well, I'm going to go for this thing, and you can just not get your thing.
Which is ironic, considering she didn't even want it at first.
No, she didn't. She didn't. But it's the right place for her. She needs to be there, right? It's so great. I think it's so great. I love these two characters. The mystery is pretty good. And the things that I object to are so minor compared to something like Mrs. Davis that I complained for an hour about. I think this show has only 5 minutes worth of complaints about it. Not even. I love it.
Yeah, just when she needs to brush her hair.
Yep. If she don't have a brush, it'll be like a woman could be smart. Could you be smart and competent? and, like, not trying to be feminine, but you could still brush your hair, right? Come on. Get your hairbrush next season.
I think it's funny you say that, though, because I did feel like that in every, like, a lot of the episodes. I didn't focus on it, but I constantly thought, my God, her hair is everywhere.
not so much
the scene where she comes back to London hungover, because that was just, I mean, she was dragging ass through that whole scene. But there was other times, and a lot of times I brush it off as like the wind was getting away with her. But there was another time where something else. There was something with her blouse, like. She missed a.
Oh, when they were like, they were like, you better tuck in your shirt, and like, you're fucking.
Oh yeah, yeah.
You need somebody to tell you to tuck in your. Come on.
And
come
she's
on. You're like,
and she's standing in the middle of the fucking hall, and she's just tucking it in.
Yeah.
I feel like it's just one of the quirks of the character. I think where she just she's always so go, that she just doesn't care about anything else.
I guess. I mean, she's supposed to be a, like, 50-ish-year-old woman who is a career diplomat who's worked her way up through the government to get some real – you don't get to go to Iraq because you're only smart. Like, you have to have a little bit of, you know, juice to get in there, I guess. I don't really know. I'm not a Foreign Service officer, but I have some friends who are. I just think a 50-year-old woman who's got a job and a career knows to tuck in her shirt. And I feel like when they say that, tuck in your shirt, like they're trying to make her a little sloppier. They're making her sloppy and I don't know. I feel like you could make her a little not in tune to that stuff. And like at this age, she should understand that you're going to the fucking White House. You're going to the embassy, like tuck in your shirt, brush your hair. Come on. She doesn't brush her hair. She doesn't like tuck in her Yeah, they're making her a little, it's just making it a little more extra than it needs to be, in my opinion, because they haven't established her as a person who is incapable of understanding social cues, right? They made her a person who rejects social cues, which is a different thing. And I'm like, well, you're going to, like, go to meet the prime minister, somebody will tell you to tuck your shirt in? Like, whatever. It bothers me a little bit that they make her... that, like, you cannot be a fashion plate but still recognize that you should tuck your shirt in, or that doing a Vogue cover is important and you should wear a dress or whatever. I don't know. I do like that the character resists these sort of, like, traditional ceremonial ambassador things or these feminine things, but I also think she can brush her hair.
You know,
although
to
I
be
did
fair,
really, I did really like when she had straw in her hair after she tried to beat the hell out of her husband and she had all this grass in her hair.
Oh, my God, that scene was hilarious when she got pissed off at Adam. Beat the hell out of him. But I like that she used that to her advantage, though, when she went to go talk to the president. Like, she totally used that to her advantage.
Yeah.
At first I thought she was going to try and smooth him and be like, oh, you made it seem so wonderful looking at the trees and everything. I went out there and I fell down and, you know, and kind of like, you know, make it seem like, oh, I was out there because of you. But then she did it. She went the other way with it. Like, I can't do this, you know.
Yeah.
And he's like, all right, no more of this quitting. I don't – that shit pisses me off.
Yeah.
You know, actually, you know, it's funny. Maybe they just didn't have any brushes on set because the CIA lady – I think a couple times I actually felt like her hair was kind of all over the place, too.
Yeah, her hair's not great either.
Hers, though, to be fair, I think hers is more, it's supposed to kind of, it's more like the style, actually, to look like that.
Yeah.
But there was a couple times where I was just like, I did notice that. Mm-hmm. So to answer, just because we kind of touched on, to answer your question, I was curious. So Kerry Russell is my age. She's 47. And Rufus Sewell, I did not realize, he's 58. He's got, or he's 50, oh. sorry, 56. He's got 10 years on her. So when you said that about him being a little older than her, I thought, I think they're like the same age. And then, I didn't realize he had 10 years on her.
10 years older, yeah. And I think he might be in the show, supposed to be like maybe 10 years more senior in his career, maybe. Not really dead, but he's got a little more juice, right?
Oh, and that reminds me. That's something I'm kind of curious about. I don't know if we're ever going to get flashbacks on the show or they'll talk about it or anything, but when he was having drinks with that friend of his, and he was talking about, he's like, you can't do, you can't do anything in this world anymore. He's like, you can't date anybody that you work with. You can't even marry anybody anymore. That's dangerous. You just get married. And, you know, he's like, with the world and the way things are and everything. And he goes, you surely can't do what you did with Kate. And I'm like, how did they get, like, how did, was he training her? And like, what was, you know, how did that, I'm kind of curious to know what that meant.
Yeah, what kind of inappropriate relationship led to their marriage or whatever,
Yeah, like they were dating and then all of a sudden one day they, like, announced they were getting married. Like they were on the down low.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go. What were you thinking?
No, I'm sorry. I mean, I've loved Rufus Sewell's performance. He was probably the perfect person to cast for this. Part of me is like, how funny would it have been if they had cast Matt Reeves to play the part of Hal? But I'm glad they didn't, because I think it would have been a distraction simply because they starred together in The Americans, you know, and to see them in a different setting on the other side, and seeing Matt Reeves in that type of role. Like, which I know he can totally do. I've seen him be a total schmuck and stuff. But I think as much fun as that could have been, I think it would have been distracting. So I'm glad that
I was gonna say that everyone I know loves this show, but I have a friend who found it a little hard at first. This friend of mine like watched the two episodes in the beginning and then stopped for a while because this friend of mine said, I'm watching other shows that also have a conspiracy and I can't keep track of it all. And this guy was like,
funny.
I need to, I was like, really? Cause like, all you need to do is stop the rest of that and just watch this one. But I mean, it is a little bit convoluted. I do see there are people who might like this show. Like, look, as much as Jamie loves the same shows we do, she doesn't always love these convoluted, like government conspiracy kind of things. Right.
Yeah, no, I don't think. I mean, I think Jamie could enjoy The Diplomat, but I don't think that she necessarily likes The Diplomat. It's not really her cup of tea.
Yeah.
At least not in this stage of her life. Like she likes the intrigue and the mystery, but I think this delves a little too heavily into the political side of it, to where I think Jamie would get not bored with it, but it wouldn't be as invested as we get.
Not everyone wants to like invest as much.
Well, you know what it is? I mean. You and I both have gotten to, I mean, not that we didn't like it before, but we've both gotten to a point in our lives where this is the good stuff to us. Like, I mean, The Expanse, I remember when The Expanse started, you used to have to really pay attention for all the political stuff, but as the show went on, that was your favorite part, you know? I mean, we talked about Andor, our favorite part was the political stuff with the Empire.
Yep. Yeah.
That's just because the rest of Andor was crap, but...
We're the only people in the world who think that, but whatever, that kind of stuff increasingly is more and more interesting to me, and I'm willing to like put my brain power into that, which is not to say that Jamie isn't or doesn't, but if you're trying to watch a whole bunch of other kind of stuff, and if you don't, you know, I mean, look, I didn't have to watch The Diplomat in 5 days. I could have watched it in 8 weeks and I would have loved that. And I'm in some level unhappy I didn't do that. But I get somebody being like, oh, I lost track of it. I got to like go through and sit through the whole thing. Right.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think it's great. I think it's like, the best thing that's come out lately. I've watched a whole bunch of other crap this week and this was the best thing ever.
Like I said, I can't remember the last time I was, like to show this much that I was like, I have to watch the next episode. I have to watch the next episode. It's been a while.
And this is not a show that your kids will watch, right? I mean, your kids are getting older, but this is not a show they'll watch. And Alyssa, your wife, will not watch the show either. Right? Not their gig, not their thing.
Alyssa tried, but but I think she would have enjoyed it more if it wasn't Kerry Russell. And, you know, it's fun. Alyssa's funny.
She doesn't like Kerry Russell.
Because
yeah.
she doesn't like Kerry Russell, and she's pretty sure it was because it was a Felicity. But she's not exactly 100%
yeah.
sure, but she's like, yeah, she's like, I think that's why. I'm like, but what? Like, I don't comprehend what that has to do with anything. It doesn't change her ability as an actor. It has nothing to do with the show that she's currently
yeah.
on. But she's
well,
like that.
So,
like, she doesn't like Ewan McGregor and Natalie Portman.
So, well, I
don't know why.
Star Wars, right? I wonder why. Star Wars?
We think that might be why. We think that might be why.
Yeah.
We're not sure.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
But
she doesn't even know why.
Now, Alyssa loved The Last Kingdom, which I also loved.
Yes.
But The Last Kingdom has some very complicated politics through the entire every season of it. It's very complex politics about invading, you know, the invasions of Britain and whatever. So it's not like she's not a person who can get into complex.
That's what I'm saying. If it
politics.
Wasn't Kerry Russell, I think she probably would have watched it all the way through.
Mm-hmm. And the kids, look, there's no way you're getting a 10 and 14-year-old boy to watch this, so.
Artie's 16. Artie might enjoy it.
Artie's 16? Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Well, maybe if it was set on Tatooine, he'd be into it. If they were the ambassador to the Republic, maybe he'd be into it.
He might like it. There's some stuff that he likes that I don't like. He started watching The Leftovers, and I didn't
really.
Like
I hated The Leftovers. I watched like
you and I both didn't like it.
Yeah, we both didn't like it.
Yeah, we talked about it on the podcast, and then we stopped.
Yep. We both did not like The Leftovers. Yeah.
But he likes it, so. Not always going to agree on stuff.
Yeah. So.
All right.
Well,
anyway.
This is what we got this week, right? So.
Yeah.
If we give Mrs. Davis, I don't know what we got next week, but we'll come through with something.
Rabbit Hole Citadel and maybe Jamie and I will talk about Silo.
Oh, yeah. I don't think
it starts Friday.
I'll try. Because Fear the Walking Dead is not back till the 13th next Sunday, so.
What's that?
Yeah. Fear,
oh, Citadel's
Fear
not
the
even
Walking
back
Dead.
This week?
No, Fear the Walking Dead. Is Citadel back? I think so. Fear the Walking Dead comes back, not this week, but the next week, yeah. Fear's on the 13th,
Fear,
right?
You said,
week? Oh, yeah, we'll have Fear next week. Fear will be back because today's the 2nd, right?
Yeah,
well,
we
now
it's
have
the 3rd,
it.
But yeah.
It
is following week.
Another week. So, all right, we'll cover what we can cover. But,
yep.
All right, I'll have a short. We're only having 3 shows. It's already past 12 o'clock, so time to jump, I guess.
Well, we just talked about the Citadel for 45 minutes, so. Our Citadel.
I know.
Diplomat.
That show's over, so we're going to talk about next week. That show is done, so, all right. Cool.
All right. Have a good week, Karen. I'll talk to you later.
Thanks. Take care. Good night.
Good night. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Come back and listen to us babble again next week. Good night.